Please join me in prayer. Holy and gracious Spirit, move within us and among us and through us. Allow us to be used for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Last Sunday, during our stewardship moment, Mark Russell talked about a money autobiography. Now, a money autobiography often begins by recalling the role of money in our childhood. And we ask ourselves the questions, well, what were the values and the attitudes about money that, you know, we learned from our parents? Did we grow up feeling financially secure, or did we grow up feeling insecure? And how did our relationship with money evolve as we grew into adulthood? And importantly, how do we feel about spending money, either on others or even on ourselves? And as we explore these money questions, it becomes evident that our relationship with money is never just about money. For some, money equals security. For others, it represents power or value or worth. And to yet others, money represents love. The choices we make with our money reflect our identity, our purpose, our values, and our loyalties. And because money is such an emotionally charged symbol, conversations about money can be very tricky. In today's gospel, Jesus has one of those tricky money conversations. Now, it might be helpful to recall that earlier the same week, Jesus had a big conflict over money. He had thrown the money changers out of the temple. Why were there money changers in the temple? Well, they are always there. But this was a particularly big week because it was Passover, and pilgrims from around the world came to Jerusalem to worship. And one of their obligations was to pay the temple tax. The pilgrims could not, however, pay the temple tax with coins imprinted with the image of a pagan emperor, one that had claims to divinity. And so they had to change the imperial money that they used for everyday life for Jewish coins. So the money changers provided exchange services, but often at an exorbitant rate, exploiting the people's genuine desire to worship. And so when Jesus throws them out of the temple during their busy season, it would be kind of like shutting merchants down right during Black Friday. You wouldn't want to do that. He's hitting them where it hurts the most, in their pocketbooks. And then when he denounces them as thieves, he's also implicating the temple top brass, right? Because they must have sanctioned their commercial activity and even given them prime spots in the temple. And so this really ticks the authorities off. So much so that even factions that were at loggerheads decide to put aside their differences and set a trap for Jesus. So the Pharisees, whose sympathies were anti-Roman, conspire with the Herodians, who are pro-Roman, to set this trap. These rivals craft a loaded money question. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Well, it is a conversation about money, but underneath it all, it is a conversation about values, about identity, about power and authority. Above all, it is a question of allegiance. So if Jesus were to say, yes, obey the law, pay your taxes, the anti-Roman Pharisees and zealots will accuse him of collaborating with the enemy. And if Jesus says, no, don't pay taxes to Rome, the pro-Roman Herodians will accuse him of sedition. Jesus' enemies are pretty confident that they can discredit him. But Jesus finesses the trap. He responds to their either-or question with a both and response. He says, well, give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, some will say that Jesus' response to that question shows how politically adroit he is. His skill as avoiding categorization as either a collaborator or an insurrectionist. Others might argue that his answer suggests that we can maintain a neat separation between the political economic realm and the spiritual realm, that we can live our lives without considering the claims our spiritual commitments have made on our political and economic behavior. But neither interpretation quite captures it. Jesus is not being evasive, nor is he saying that faith commitments have nothing to do with political and economic commitments. Rather, he is pushing us to an even more radical understanding of the claim God has on our lives. Remember that when Jesus asks his listeners to bring him a coin, it's not the Jewish shekel that they bring him, right? It's the Roman denarius. That's the coin they have in their pockets. And so when he asks them whose head and whose title, the answer is, of course, it's the emperor's. The imperial Roman denarius was always stamped with the image or the icon of the current emperor. The emperor authorized the minting of these coins. He made these coins in his own image to be used for imperial business. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, God says, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And that's exactly what God does. And the narrator in Genesis goes on to say, so God created humankind in God's own image. In the image of God, they were created both male and female. God created them. You, me, all of us, every single human being that ever existed, and every single human being that will ever exist, we are all, every one of us, created in the image of God. That reality needs to be part of our stewardship conversations. This reality needs to be part of our money autobiographies. We need to think of ourselves as God's coins. All of us, stamped, imprinted as it were with the divine image. This is a clue to our identity. It asserts God's ultimate power and authority, and it demands our loyalty. And it points to the values that drive our lives. Coins are meant to be spent. The Roman Emperor's imperial treasury was spent on the emperor's business. We are God's imperial treasury, intended for God's work in the world. There's a poem by a priest named Joseph Donders, and he describes it this way. He says, God coined us in God's image. We are God's money, and we should be spent. Money should circulate. We should circulate. Money should go hand to hand. We should go hand to hand. Money should be used. We should be used. We should be spent. We are coins. Let us risk being used, and we will be increased, and the end will be glory. Perhaps the ultimate question for our money autobiographies should be, how will we spend ourselves? Will we give to God the things that are God's? Please stand as you're able as we sing hymn 871, sing Praise to God, the Highest Good.